Now will you notice, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. And this idea of feel after him means that they were groping after him. Man is not really searching for the living and true God, but he's searching for a God. And he's willing to stop on the way and put up an idol and worship it, you see. It doesn't mean he's looking for the living and true God, but he is on the search. Now, will you notice verse 28? For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Now, not his sons, but his offspring, his creation. We are his creation. And what he's saying here is, and by the way, this is not pantheism, that everything is God, you see. For in him we live and move and have our being. But God is beyond this created universe. Now he says, your own poets. And one of the poets was Erastus. In 270 B.C., he was a Stoic from Cilicia. And Cleanthes, I read when I was in college quite a bit of Cleanthes. He lived in 300 B.C., and he had a hymn to Zeus. And he speaks of the fact that men are the offspring. And what he means, and actually what he says, is that we're the creatures of God. That's what man is. We're the creatures of God. That's the picture that's given to us here, that mankind is the creature of God. Now will you notice, for we are also his offspring. Now Paul continues on, for as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In other words, we ought not to be idolatrous. He's now going to present the true God to them, and the true God is a Redeemer. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, there was a time when God shut his eyes, actually, to the paganism, but now light has come into the world, and he asks men to turn to him, and light creates responsibility. And he presents the true God as judge for the future. The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, God is the creator, and he's the judge. Now, notice, because he hath appointed a day in the which he'll judge the world in righteousness. And when God judges, it'll be right. By whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, Paul presented what he always presented, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He presents him as judge, but the one who is the judge has nail-pierced hands because he's come back from the dead. And now, will you notice what took place here? All men, that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. You know why? Because Platonism denied the resurrection of the dead, friends. That was one of the marks of Platonism. They denied physical resurrection. In fact, this idea today of a spiritual resurrection, and that is something that is Platonism, but it's not Paul by any means. Now, they heard of the resurrection of the dead. Some mocked, and others said, "We'll hear thee again of this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Now, this has caused the critic to say, well, Paul failed that. He didn't have any convert. Oh, wait a minute. Why don't you read the next verse? It says, howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And so Paul had quite an aggregation of converts in the city of Athens. And my friends, when Paul the Apostle went to a place and preached the gospel and had converts, he didn't fail. He succeeded. And Paul did not fail in Athens by any means whatsoever.